shirt off.
Take your shirt off.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Shirtless Plantain Show. Currently, the Scudetto race is insane. That's all the reporting we have from Europe because everybody else's season is done, right? Right. So,
we do have Yuli Hoeneß talking about Dortmund are assured second place again next year. Yeah. I don't know why he said that because even though it's true, I mean, it's not nice. We didn't have to say it, you know?
You know what his last name is, right?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so you know, you expect that from somebody whose last name is Hoeneß. You expect Hoeneß.
Haaland leaving as well. Everyone's talking about it was such a low fee and whatever, blah blah blah. I don't have any sympathy for Dortmund because they could have got at least 40 more million last year for him, and they'll I don't know why they decided to hold on to him, and he literally went for what I think 54 million in the end, 54. British million pounds. I don't know.
I think it was always a transaction from the beginning when he showed up from, was it Salzburg? Did he come from?
Yeah.
Like him and his agent, you know, RIP Mino Raiola, like they had a plan. They intentionally designed the contract to have him be released at certain prices at certain points. So Dortmund didn't really have any control in the situation. If they wanted more money, they could have let him go sooner, but they felt that he was more useful as a player to them, you know? So, and I would agree, you know, like, I think the shit worked out well for everybody, you know, like he developed a little bit better. They, you know, they got to watch him in the Champions League a little bit. And they'll have another player. It'll be Bellingham next or, you know, whoever, you know, any kid that's interested in developing in Germany, like Dortmund will be the place to be. You know, they've sort of made that their thing. So just because this one was such a, you know, because the player is so good and the price looks so low, like that's not on them. You know, like they knew what they were getting into. Like nobody in this situation got cheated. Nobody got surprised.
Okay? Of course. But I don't have any sympathy for them. And especially the fact that they replaced him literally straight away, you know, so.
Whose dad is the most Yoruba looking nigga in the world.
Yeah.
That guy, almost balancing sunglasses on his face.
Yeah, he very much is the archetype Yoruba man. I know for a fact he hasn't washed his own hands after eating Eba in about 30 years. Like that, Omi Shawo is his right away. Like I just know.
I know he was at Signal doing a part playing when he talking about so Oya Karu, Yami Futu. That's exactly what that's not Big Show. But yeah, all the leagues are done, man. The only thing that's going on right now is the Prem Top 4 Europa Conference League race for people like me who's involved. Serie A Scudetto race. Venezia got relegated.
Shame. Nice gowns, though.
Beautiful gowns, FC. Shout out to my guy, Ted, by the way. Ted's a legend. Sent me some Venezia kits. So, you know, going to be looking good in Serie B. Be back. But yeah, that's really it. Let's hit North London Derby. I'll let y'all take the floor because I have my thoughts and opinions. In fact, fuck y'all. I'm gonna talk first. The referee's on some bullshit. I hate Arsenal, but that was some bullshit. That penalty call, the first one, was nonsense. Everyone's like, oh, it was a foul. First and foremost, for anybody who wants to know, I was a licensed referee for a very long time. That was a bullshit call. That was a bullshit call. Like, you don't call that in a big game. Like, that's not shit.
You don't call that in any game, really.
No, it's
like, what was it exactly? Like, I think people had to wait until the end of the game to actually realize exactly what the referee called there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, was it like initially we thought it was a handball, then they called it a barge, and it's like, well, like it's a contact sport. People in the box, when their bodies, people bump into each other and whatnot. Like, it's not like he, you know, jumped into him or pushed him. You know, like it was just, you know, like it's one of those things. Like, it's like, well, yes, you've seen them called and they can be called, but the ref has to want to give it. You know. Yeah. Like, and he gave it quick, and there was no VAR involved either, you know. And it's like, for something that, you know, like the very same ref was on VAR for the FA Cup final, which we're going to get to in a little bit. And I saw a Chelsea player get barged over by Konate in the box. I forget who it was. Just barged over. Like, neither one of them was near the ball. The Chelsea guy was going to get there first. Konate puts his shoulder into that dude's back and knocks him over in the 18. And the same ref that's on VAR, it's a much – like, put it this way, the Harry Kane's goal, the Son's goal in the second half, the push that Harry Kane executed on Gabriel before the ball broke to Son was way more of a push than whatever Cedric did to Son in the first half. And that wasn't called at all, you know. So for me, I'm going to sound like a conspiracy theorist here, and I'm not ashamed about it. I'm an Arsenal fan. I've made no bones about it, but it kind of feels like, you know, put it this way. If I was running the Premier League, I would want the top four race to go down to the last day too, you know, and whatever that takes to happen, you know, cool. And on top of that, just in general, some teams don't have the best luck with certain refs. Like Paul Tierney is a terrible ref, objectively speaking. But I think in every game, I don't think Arsenal has scored a goal in any game that he's ref this season. And they've received a bunch of cards, and we've conceded 9 goals in those games and lost all of them. So, you know.
Is Paul Tierney
Scotland? I did not know that, but I'm curious to know how many of those games were away from home. I'm assuming all of them were away from home.
So
I'm not going to really speak about him because he doesn't deserve any sort of airtime. I don't think any English referee deserves any sort of acknowledgement after, apart from the fact that we know they ref the game and that's it, because they are the most insignificant and irrelevant members of the game, and nobody should be respecting them until they fix up. That's how I feel. They shouldn't, like, they should be treated with the same contempt that we treat actual fraudsters and criminals. Like, they, because they are fraudsters and criminals. That's what they are. Like, they represent the most corrupt and criminal footballing body, pardon me, on the planet. Like, that, you know, I've made no bones about how I feel about the FA. So there's that. Fuck the FA.
Like, real quick on that Cedric penalty again. Like, neutrals can say what they want, you know, because at this point, for some reason, people don't like Arsenal. And I know what the reason is, because we're about to be good again and they can tell. You know, I feel it. I remember how it was when we were like the best. I get it. Yeah. That's cool. But would any of you be okay with that penalty being called against your team?
Fuck no. And that's why that's why I said it that day. I was just like, bro, like, I hate Arsenal more than most people even love their own team. And that's a fact. You can go check my stats.
I believe that.
Fucking hate Arsenal more than you love your club.
But I don't even know how we're friends, to be honest with you.
No. It's the power of Yoruba.
That is some things are more important than football.
But at the end of the day, like, I said it was a bullshit call. So I was like, yo, what the fuck are you doing? Like, you don't call that. Especially in a game that big. Like, come on, man. Go suck out, man. That's not something you do.
Like, I saw Rob Holding get a red card, and maybe it was deserved, but I also saw Heung-min Son elbow him on the floor 15 minutes before that. He didn't even go to VAR, didn't go to VAR at all. Like, you know, so it's like when you add up all these instances, it's hard not to feel as if it was intentional. That's why Arteta was just like, if I speak, I'll get in trouble, and he moved on. Because
that's the thing. Prior to the red card, prior to the penalty, even, right? So this was the first time this season I hosted a game. A few of my friends came around, and we were all confused for two things. Number one, why the hell we started both Cedric and Holding on the same side. But number two, why we were playing not only so well but so aggressively and so much in Tottenham's half. We were thinking we're primed to be hit on the counter, almost kind of thing. But It didn't really happen. I mean, none of their goals actually came from counters.
No, their goals were gifts. Even the second goal that they scored from the corner came from Saka winning the ball, getting fouled. You literally see Højbjerg step on his foot.
Yeah.
Then they get a free kick. The free kick leads to the corner that they score from. So that was a gift too. Harry Kane barges Gabriel over in the box at the beginning of the second half. Ball breaks the Son. He scores. So it's basically three gifts. And I'm reading all these fucking match reports on, you know, various websites because, you know, I like torturing myself. And they're talking about it as if Tottenham somehow dominated and beat Arsenal. It's like, not even with 10 men did they really dominate the game.
And that's the thing. That's why Arteta after the game was so pissed off, because he was like, it's been ruined because the beginning of the first 20, 30 minutes of the game, Tottenham didn't do anything. And Arsenal, even though Arsenal didn't create much, we were very much in the ascendancy. And, you know, the chance to build any sort of momentum and rhythm and to actually start, you know, making them really, really sweat was taken away just like that, you know. So I get the frustration. I get the frustration, but more on my point about starting Cedric and holding on the same side, right? Son is the most informed player in the league right now. And right. Unfortunately, he was always going to score on Thursday. Yeah, but I think one of the things that Arteta needs to probably learn is, number one, when you don't want to upset the balance of the team, that shouldn't be to the detriment of the actual balance of the area of the field. So, for example, now you want to play a right-footed player next to Rob Holding. That makes sense. So why not just swap him and Tomiyasu? Tomiyasu is our best player in the air quite comfortably. He's our best player in the air. And Holding isn't bad in the air as well. Athletically, he's probably our best conditioned fullback as well. So it kind of made sense to me why you'd want to play Tomiyasu right back. Emerson is fucking shit, right? So I'm not worried about him doubling up with Kulusevski on Cedric. That's a problem we deal with and get there. But the real genuine danger is Son. So if there's one thing that I was genuinely annoyed about, the fact that we kind of made it easy for them. Like, Tomiyasu would have 1,000% helped Holding a lot more than whatever the fuck Cedric was doing. So there's that. So this isn't just a moan about, oh, the ref's done us wrong. You know, we could have helped ourselves a little bit in a way, but at the same time, like, the refs did what they had to do. Now, in regards to what happens now, what happens afterwards, yeah, Tottenham have won today, but the fact remains that, okay, by the time you guys probably hear this, Arsenal might have played, or we might be playing, right? The fact remains that in this current precise moment, it's in Arsenal's hands. And whichever way you want to spin it, Tottenham won, they had the day, good for them. This was literally their cup final.
And if I may interrupt you real quick before you get back to the point you're about to make, like, this was another day when I don't, like, what is it about Tottenham as a club that the English establishment and media seem to treat them like they deserve preferential treatment order? Is it just Harry Kane? Is that what it is?
I'll give it to you right now.
This is the best Tottenham of, okay, so a bit of history, right? For like our newer listeners or people that don't really follow the game. Tottenham have won trophy since 2008, and their last trophy before that, I couldn't even fucking tell you. Like,
and I've watched a lot of 91. I think they had an FA.
I don't know. I don't fucking know, bro.
Before Sky invented football, they won a trophy.
Yeah, I just don't know. So Tottenham historically are a side that are just there. They're nothing special. If I could think of a team in American sports I can compare them to, that maybe they're like the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. I don't know if that's no. it. I don't know. I don't
a, little, a little more accomplished. A little more.
Okay. So a little bit more accomplished than the Phoenix Suns, right? They're in that level of club, basically, that level of organization. They're genuinely nothing special, right?
They might be the Milwaukee Bucks.
Okay, so there we go.
Because they've won things in the past, they're just not like an elite premier franchise.
The Washington Wizards.
Yes, that's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah.
I can accept that. Okay, so this is literally the best in the history of Tottenham's history, right? This is the best they've ever been, and they're scrapping for a Europa League place. Yeah, they made a Champions League final about 3 years ago now, 3 or 4 years ago now, I think. But
yeah, that was the peak that for them.
Yeah, like, that was the peak for them, and they've never done anything since. They've always been a team, especially in the last 10 years, that have been a top eight, top nine sides team kind of thing. In the last few years, they've bundled themselves into the Champions League a couple of times, but they're not anything special. Now, the fact that they have the
English bride, with the bride,
yeah, but not even that. They don't even really get there. They're not of the standard where it's like, oh my gosh, like you can't talk about Tottenham glory days. Tottenham glory days literally entails Gareth Bale and Van der Vaart winning a few games against Man City here and there, and then like. And that's their glory days. Just football matches, not actual championships, just football matches. Oh, look, this amazing football match that we won that one time, but our season ended up finishing sixth or whatever. I don't know. Like, that is what Tottenham are. So the fact they have the England captain has literally propped them up to this sort of, oh, do you know what? That's a team that they should be here. When really, historically, they've never actually been good. There's not a point in history where you say, oh my gosh, a point in history where anyone that's under the age of 50 years old is going to be like, oh my gosh, Tottenham was so good and they were doing it, like, because it just never happened. It never existed kind of thing. So there's that. But ultimately, again, it lies in Arsenal's hands, and we're not going to get the decisions that we want to go for us in these games. We're just not going. We're not going to want them to happen. I mean, we got quite a bit of luck against United, kind of thing, and that might be because we were at home. But at the same time, on the balance of play, Arsenal definitely deserves to win that match. But ultimately, you cannot rely on the refs to do your favor in these games, and that's why it's like I'm still a little bit frustrated at the fact that we started with that defensive combination. You know, if you're not going to get help,
that was a definite mistake.
If we're not going to get help from the refs, then at least try prep one way or the other. But that's neither here nor there. It's gone now. It's in Arsenal's hands. We've got to play Newcastle tomorrow. And I feel exactly how I said it after the game. Said, I cannot wait to get my players out onto the pitch against Newcastle. That's all it is. You want a game like that happens on Thursday. And the first thing you do is like, okay, who's next? Like, the amount of games that I've played at my very, very, very below amateur level career, like, lose a game, and the next thing I'm thinking of for the whole week, I'm at work, I'm walking around the supermarket, I'm thinking Thursday. That's what I'm thinking about, Thursday. That's literally what's all in my mind. Who's next?
Think about some holes.
No, but seriously, that I'm not even thinking about, oh, is the team good or not? Like, I'm just thinking about, we're gonna win. Regardless of who we're playing, I'm like, we're gonna win our next game because I'm so pissed off, and there's this, and you know, there's a lot on the line. You know, like Dean said, Arsenal potentially, like, okay, if Arsenal get Champions League, then we potentially could kick on and, you know, kick on to the next level where it's like, okay, we're expected to get Champions League again next season rather than, oh, we're Champions League hopefuls. So there's a very, 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 like, there's only two teams in England right now, maybe Chelsea, that are guaranteed Champions League football every year. And Arsenal's next step has to, we have to get to the stage where 70-75 points is the standard that we should have by the time we've hit about 30-31 games, 32 games into the season. That should be the standard. That's where Arsenal needs to be going next. And that guarantees you Champions League football. You know, if you've got 30, get to 32 games in the season and you're on 70 points, then you're pretty much assured to be in the top four, you know, going into the last few weeks of the season. So there's that. But again, we are so close and it's so delicate. But the best thing that you can hope for is that you're not relying on other teams. You know, Tottenham.
It was never going to be easy.
Exactly.
Honestly, you look back on the Tottenham game and you think to yourself, why did we think we could get a result there?
No, not even that. No, I didn't say you were definitely going to win or anything like that. But
I was hoping
to lose.
Hey, side note, by the way, Teo Hernandez just did a madness, and Milan are winning 2-0. So, yeah, I think the Scudetto's going to AC Milan, I think, at this point.
I still believe in the power of Sassuolo next week.
By the way, you know what they call me in New York in Little Italy?
Eggs, man.
They call me Scamacca.
He might be the one, you know. He's like a way better version of Giroud. Like, I like his game a lot. But yeah, back to Arsenal quickly. Sorry. So, it's in our hands, and that's the best thing you can hope for going into the season. Nobody gave us a chance. You know, people didn't even have us in. Some people didn't even have us in finishing in the top eight. So there's that.
Yeah, I think we're playing with house money at this point. You know.
Yeah, I think it's a disappointment if we don't get top four, and it's. I wouldn't say it's disaster. I might feel like it's a disaster, but at the same time, it's like nobody had us here, and you know, it's in our hands. That's pretty much the best you can hope for at this stage of the season. So
I'll be honest, if I gotta hear this I don't know, man. I might not make it next season.
Yeah, I mean, we'll just have to wait and see. But I've rambled on long enough. FA Cup final.
FA Cup final.
The Arsene Wenger Invitational Cup. I think it's pretty hilarious that Mason Mount has lost 6 cup finals in a row.
I don't know, man. You know what they call that kind of person over here?
Loser. Or a Tottenham fan, if you're gonna go full circle.
Yeah, there you go. But I mean, that was a really interesting game. You know, like it was shocking that there weren't actual goals in regulation time.
Hold on, before you finish, Luis Diaz, insane football player.
I think we've asked Liverpool about him before, but I just have to say one thing. It doesn't make sense that you buy a player and they fit your style of play. So much so that it's not even like a glove at this point. It's not even like a condom, man. It's straight bareback, bro. It's just meant to be.
it's a bareback fit.
Yeah, like it's just, bro, like it doesn't make, like he looks like he's been there since they won the Champions League in, what is it, 18-19 season or whatever. I don't know, like.
Yeah, he just looks like he's. Like he fits in so well that he already gets mad at Salah when he doesn't pass to him. Like, bro, he does.
Getting a man in the match in a cup final is no mean feat. Like, you know, because everybody tries to bring the A game for a cup final kind of thing, and you're the cut above.
Unless you're Mason Mount.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, shout out to Liverpool. I mean, in a season that Chelsea has had, it would have been so unfortunate if they were to end it with a trophy. Like, you know,
man, fuck Chelsea.
Yeah, exactly that.
Like, fuck Chelsea. I don't like fuck all the fuck
Chelsea. With all the Abramovich stuff.
What team do you support? You
know, what team do I support?
Fuck Chelsea.
Fuck Chelsea.
I just remember the video. Yeah, but I mean, it would have been such a shame for them to have all this shit go against them, and then they end it with a trophy. Yeah, that's just not the way I like things to go. So, yeah, man, shout out to Liverpool for doing that.
Honestly, it was never in doubt. It was never in doubt. Yeah. I always knew that, like, Liverpool is going to win a cup double. They're not going to win the league, despite what happened with City today. Yeah. They're going to win. They've won everything they're going to win, I believe. Real Madrid is going to mash them.
We can probably talk Champions League a bit more a bit later on or on another pod, but I will say this: Liverpool, the way, and I need people to understand this. This is the way, well, at least me and Dean feel, right? I don't know about Tosin because obviously his allegiances are different because he supports United, but Liverpool Football Club, just the club itself, right? I don't think I have any real qualms with them. I mean, growing up or whatnot, they were a team that every time we played them, it was always going to be, it's always a great game to be honest when we play them. Unfortunately, in the last few years, we're not as good as them, but it's always a great game. Their philosophy has always been about attacking as well. Like, you know, they've always had amazing strikers, and I respect the club itself. And any other circumstances, I wouldn't really mind Liverpool winning stuff because it is what it is, right? However, the fan base, for the most part, are so insufferable that I'm willing to not root, but I don't mind if a club as hollow and as morally bankrupt as City wins the league over them. That's what football rivalry can do to you, kind of thing. Now, I genuinely, like, Klopp is such an amazing coach, and you know he's got them playing at such a high level. But unfortunately, and therefore you think, well, we don't care. You know, our team's good. We don't care if you like us, which is fair enough. That's fine. That's absolutely fine. You're entitled to feel that way. But I just need you to understand the psychology of most fans in the league, kind of thing. Like, your club itself, you know, you've done things, if you like, quote unquote, the right way. And, you know, you're competing against a bottomless pit of money juggernaut, which nobody else has been able to do or be able to match them and to push them that far. So shout out to you on that front. But we can't have you winning stuff, unfortunately. That's just the way it goes.
See, ultimately, like, the thing about City and Chelsea and soon Newcastle is that it's easy to deal with them winning things because we know the, you know, like there's a source that means that you don't necessarily, as an opposing fan, you don't necessarily have to value.
Exactly.
That's what hurts. Like, when Liverpool wins things, that kind of stings a little bit.
Yeah,
but these left money pits, it's like whatever. So
yeah, I mean, I'm sure UEFA don't even remember who won the Champions League last year. I'm sure I don't even think they remember who was in the final last year, to be honest. But yeah, you know I mean, it's like nobody really gives a fuck in it. But it's like when a team with heritage and a team that hasn't come up like that does it, it's like, oh shit, we need to get our shit together, because if they can get their shit together, we should get it.
We should be able to do the same thing, you know. So
yeah, so there's a bit of, you know, I'm not afraid to admit there's a little bit of jealousy there. There's a little bit of I wouldn't say
bitterness. It's not a little bit, it's a lot. I'm jealous as
fuck. Yeah, I wouldn't say bitterness, but maybe a bit of, you know, like, oh shit, like fuck that. Like,
that could be us.
That should be us, kind of thing. But I wouldn't say it's
been me, not him.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But
not good things that happen to me, not other people.
Yeah, so there's that. But again, yeah, I mean, the Champions League final is between two teams who are genuine European royalty. So I don't know which way it's gonna go. I know which way I hope it goes, but there's that.
Fuck Liverpool, nigga.
Yeah.
That's on God, nigga. Fuck Liverpool.
But yeah, what do we think of the title race though in general? Because City, I mean, going to West Ham is not an easy task. Arsenal, I feel like Arsenal's win there a couple of weeks ago is even a bit more impressive considering how the game went today for City. But you know, they're a team that they're probably the only team in the league outside of Liverpool that if they're 2-0 down at halftime, you're thinking that. Yeah, they're probably gonna come back. Like, it's not a thing for them. Any other team in the league that goes 2-0 down, you're probably thinking it's over.
But to be honest, like, Arsenal, we've had one or two hiccups, but West Ham is just a place where we pick up points. Yeah. It's just what we do. No matter what it looks like, we pick up points at West Ham.
I think they're the team we've won the most points against in the league. Them or Everton, I think.
Correct. You know, so not everybody can be us. You know, maybe if City spends another 500 million, they'll be able to achieve what Arsenal has achieved at London Stadium.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, the title race is going to be funny because I think, well, I wouldn't say it's over, but goal difference can't really play a part in it now. City have to outright lose. But even if it was a goal difference thing, City technically had 5 goals over Liverpool. And don't get me wrong, Liverpool can probably score 10 goals in 2 games because that's just how they are. Right. But I don't particularly see that happening. So,
and City can do that too if they need to.
Yeah, that is true. But yeah, they've got one game left. Liverpool, I think, are back on Tuesday.
Against Southampton, one of their old feeder teams.
Yeah.
That's probably 3 points right there.
Yeah.
But
yeah, man. Ten Hag, he hates his family almost as much as Arteta hates his family. This guy's talking about, fuck a holiday. I'm here to work.
Yeah, the whole Ajax staff is going to curse out tomorrow for a party to celebrate their win in the league. And Ten Hag's like, what party? I'm going to Manchester. I got work tomorrow. I'm like, that's right. You bald, beautiful bastard. You know it's right.
The sooner he starts cashing checks, the quicker he can get his buyout when you fire him.
Get the fuck away from me. I don't like it.
Everybody just talking about this nigga like this shit going to work out because he bald like Pep. Fuck out of here, man.
Like, nah, man. I genuinely like this guy. I feel like this is someone who I've wanted to club for a very long time. I'm glad that, like, United actually didn't fuck it up and, like, took their time and research. So, I mean, it's going to take some time, but I'm excited. I'm very excited, and hopefully he brings Frankie with him. So,
yeah, the Frankie thing is interesting because I hear Barcelona fans saying things like, he never really developed. And my whole thing is, like, I don't think he ever really got to play in the position that they bought him to play in on a regular basis. Like, he's supposed to be a 6. But Sergio Busquets still plays there, so he's been playing as an 8 for the most part. And I don't really know what the plans are for him in the Premier League, but bring him. I'm excited to see good players. That's basically it, because I don't watch La Liga like I should, mainly because I have taxes to pay. But if he shows up, I'll be very excited to see, you know, what kind of midfield combination United goes for next, because it can't be just him, right? Like, it has to be him and at least one more if you're losing Pogba as well, so...
Yeah, we'll see, man. We'll see. All I know is that fuck Liverpool
and Chelsea and City. Yeah. Fuck any club that isn't represented on this podcast. Just that, you know, like, I don't care who you support. If it's not Arsenal, fuck that club, especially if it's Manchester United or AC Milan.
This is what Sir Alex Ferguson and Wenger retired for. Hate.
This is eternal.
Hate is eternal. We don't even respect each other. It's just pure hatred at this point. Right. So that's all that is. So, it's
just a setting.
So the moral of the story is Milan and Inter are looking, AC and Inter, excuse me, are looking to win the Scudetto. Liverpool and City, I guess, are going for the Champions League. I mean, for the title. Arsenal should be back in Champions League. It's been a long 7 years
This nigga is adding years. In 2017, Arsenal were still playing Champions League football, okay? All right? So you guys do the math, okay?
That's fine. My fault. He's just adding
years, but I respect it.
It's hard to count when your pen is made out of horse cum.
It's pretty hard to count when your team's shit and you're it's time to lose to Man City. It's disgusting. It's nasty work. But guess what? Tough times never last. Only tough people last. And on that note, we're out. Y'all got anything else you want to add?
I just wanted to give Danny Welbeck a shout out for his goal today against Leeds and for his celebration, which all the ones that know pay tribute to Emil Heskey, the OG DJ player.
He did a golf swing at the end, though, but I respect it.
Hey, you know, you can't, you know, perfection is hard in life, you know, like, I'll tell you more about that after we get off the pod.
Hi, everyone. We're out. Oh, by the way, Kendrick Lamar was playing football in Ghana, and I said, that's Mr. Morale, the big first touch.
Put it this way, he's better at football than he is at making albums. That's how I feel.
And he's not that good at making albums. We're out. Everyone take it easy. Peace.
All right, time to watch some basketball.